You're listening to the Redeemer London podcast. For more information, visit our website at redeemerlondon.org.
Good morning. Good morning. Great to see you all. Really excited to be here. Wasn't that a wonderful time of worship? Yeah. The presence of God is here. As we worship Jesus, he builds that throne in our midst, that we can come to him more and more. And God met, I'm sure, with some of you during the worship time. And as we move, as it were, to the word time, God will meet you during the word time as well. And we'll have a time as well afterwards to pray. And God will meet some of you during the ministry time. Why? Because God is Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. And so I'm really excited to be here. Yep, Pete and I go back just 1 or 2 years. Pete was much younger then. I've stayed the same age, but Pete was much younger then. We've had some great times over the years seeing God move. So let's jump in. We read in Scripture that in the last days, God will pour out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. And we are blessed to live in that time where God is pouring out his Spirit upon us, upon the person to your left, the person to your right, in front of you and behind you. God is pouring out his Holy Spirit. And as we think just for a moment about the passion that God has for his church and how Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be known. We can see something of God's desire for his church. We can sense it, that his church is to be full of his presence, his love, his power, and the Holy Spirit. And his church is to be a powerful church, one that experiences, one that knows the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And often we see the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in the church through the gifts that are manifested in operation. And today I want to share with you some insights in how the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge operates. Listening to Pete's preach last week, you know, he covered the foundation for spiritual gifts. And I just want to really make clear that as I go through these two gifts, I'll probably spend more time on the word of knowledge than I will on the word of wisdom. But we live in a time where we're busy. Anybody busy here? Yeah? We're busy people. We're busy with family. We're busy with church. We're busy with work. We're busy people. However, as we grow in our Christian faith, we must also be those that cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he comes to distribute amongst us. And the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. It's not a power. It's the person. So we invite the person. We invite the Holy Spirit into our midst. And the Holy Spirit is a person that you and I can get to know. Isn't that exciting that we can get to know the Holy Spirit? Therefore, as we grow in our intimacy with Christ and the Holy Spirit, this will empower us to live out our Christian life day by day. And as we long for the presence of God, there will be times where the Holy Spirit comes and he gives us a prompt to do something. And I'm going to be sharing a lot about that today with lots of different examples as well. But let's turn to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 12. Let's have a look at this. Let's remind ourselves, I know it was read last week, but let me just pick up just a couple of things from here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. Take it as a personal invite. God's speaking to you through this. Now to each one. So that's to you. That's the person to your left, to the right, behind you, and in front of you. Now, to each one. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the wisdom of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. Just as he determines. For me, as I look at the word of knowledge, I would bring this definition. People say, what is a word of knowledge? For me, I would describe it in the following way. A word inspired by God and spoken by an individual. A word that is inspired by God and spoken by an individual. We must be those that are filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be exercising gifts of the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We can't expect to be using the gifts of the Holy Spirit if we haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Today you might say, I've heard about the Holy Spirit, but I've never really been baptized in the Spirit. I've never really felt that filling from within. Maybe today could be a day where you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You come to know the Holy Spirit in a whole new way. The word of knowledge is a revelation gift. It reveals the supernatural and natural mysteries. When this gift is in operation, I've seen that the past and the present conditions of people, places, names, conversations, and things are all revealed. But it's important to know that as we come to God, we actually come to a God who is all-knowing. How do we know that? Luke 12, verse 7 says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For some, that might be an easier count. And perhaps for others, that's not an easy count. But God knows everything. God knows everything. You know, he's the God of the big, but he's also the God of the detail that can speak into a situation by a word of knowledge, and he comes to speak to you. He comes to speak to you. Today, you might think, hey, I'm just part of this crowd here. He comes to speak to you by name, by name. So, God has got all knowledge, but when we begin to use the word of knowledge, it's really important to know that actually it is a gift that is inspired by God. It isn't a word of knowledge that you go to a training course to learn a word of knowledge. No, it's not that. It's not even, you could say, biblical knowledge. It's actually God speaking to you, revealing to you something about a situation and about a person that God wants to minister into. So he knows everything. He knows absolutely everything. Because Jesus Christ, he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows everything about us. We might think, oddly, that we can fool God, but we can't fool God. He knows everything about us. He knows absolutely everything. So let me give you some foundations for the use of the word of knowledge. First of all, we must fight for the prophetic. We must fight for the prophetic. The prophetic isn't just a little add-on for the keenies. No, we must fight for the prophetic. We must fight for spiritual gifts. We mustn't keep saying, do you know what? I remember the good old days. No, no, today's the day. Yeah. Today is the day. We must be those young and old who keep pressing in to wanting to know more about God. So first of all, we must be those that fight for the prophetic. The gifts of the Spirit, they have not ceased. They are for the church today. We need to be those that have our feet on the ground but plugged into God. We want to be really useful to God. And as we move in this gift, we must remain in a place of relying upon the Holy Spirit, learning his voice, and staying very, very humble. We must never get, as it were, beyond ourselves. But actually, we know who we are in God, but we keep learning from him. I actually remember years ago when I took my driving test. You know, there's a time where you go into the car and you have that instructor and he tells you to turn left or right. And, you know, I did all of that and then I took my test and I failed. I took my test again and I failed. I took my test again and I failed. You know where this is going. I took my test again and I failed. I took my test again and I passed. Yes. And what I could do then is I could rip off those L plates from the front of the car and the back of the car because I didn't need to listen to the instructor anymore. Not so with spiritual gifts. We keep learning from the instructor. We keep learning from the Holy Spirit. We keep coming back and asking questions. We don't think that we know it. We don't, as it were, become that lone ranger, not with spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts should be accountable to the elders within the church. Gifts don't lead the church. Elders do. Elders do. They lead the church. So let's not allow anything to spoil us in our walk before God, any success or any failure, you know, however you'd like to describe that. But let's be those that keep pressing in. I want to share with you five ways that I've experienced when receiving a word of knowledge. And I know that other people have received very similar situations. And then I'll go into detail. So first of all, you see a word. You've got that inner knowing. You've got that pain that comes to you for a moment. You've got that spontaneous utterance. You say something and you see a picture. So in other words, you read it. You know it, you feel it, you say it, and you see it. Let me explain that with some examples. You might see a word like, what's your name, sir? Toby. Okay. So I might be looking at Toby, and I might see the word asthma over Toby. And God would be showing to me that he wants to bless Toby, but maybe it's the area of asthma. Maybe he wants to come and heal him. So you might see a word over someone. You may have that inner knowing, that strong conviction. The way I describe it is you know it in your knower. You just know it. You know it. You've got faith. God grants you faith for the moment. You may have a physical pain that comes to you for a short time. And you know that's not you, but it's the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't come to church all doubled up in pain, but I have recognized certain times where God gives me a pain for a moment, and I know it to be a work of God. There's that spontaneous utterance. You just say it. Sometimes that comes through a counseling situation. Sometimes somebody might respond to asthma, and you're praying for them. And then God begins to reveal a bit more to you about that situation. The person might have just responded with one thing, but then you begin to see more. A word of caution. Don't jump in about babies and marriage and those big things. I would say be very accountable to elders in that situation. Very accountable. Lastly, you might see a picture describing a condition, like a heart or a kidney. Let me give you some examples. A while ago, I saw this in a vision. I felt a shoulder pain come to me, and this was for a lady. But again, I quite often have this conversation with the Holy Spirit and say, well, that's pretty obvious. There's bound to be somebody in the group like this. But then actually, I often go back and ask for more. And God revealed to me, actually, the bracelet that she would be wearing. Very clear bracelet. And so she came out with this bracelet and said, hey, I'm the person with the bracelet. And God healed her. So sometimes God will reveal to you what somebody is wearing. There was a situation, I went to another church, and I had this feeling that there was a young man in the auditorium. And he had just recently injured himself playing football. But what I saw was the top that he was wearing. It was a number 7 on his back. And he was there. And so God can often reveal to you the detail about a person. Now, during a day, you'll hear many voices. Busyness is all around us. But God wants us to learn and recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit amongst all other voices. It doesn't matter if you're in the busiest of places or in the quietness of your room. You can hear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and through you. Now, that then might lead to stepping out in faith. But some people say, well, you know, how do I know if it's me? How do I know if it's the Holy Spirit? Another way is, how do I know if this is the way I'm feeling is because of the curry I had last night? Or is this a real move of the Holy Spirit upon me? And so this is what I do. If I begin to feel as though God's giving me a word, this is how I pray. God, will you take it away if it's not from you? Will you take it away if it's not from you? But if it is of you, will you add to it? Will you add to it? And then when that adding comes, I'm thinking, okay, I'm hearing a bit more from God. And it's a bit like Oliver Twist. You come back for more and more and more. You ask for more of the Holy Spirit, more of what he wants to share with you. Sometimes a word of knowledge might just come like one word, but sometimes it might come as a sentence. But let me share with you this one. Let me share with you a story showing you how we receiving is like a process. There was a lady in our church called Fade, and I felt that God said that one day I saw the meeting and that God wanted to heal this lady. And I felt it was a blood condition. And then I said to God, I said again, there's going to be lots of people here who's going to have a blood condition. I felt also then God said it would be a lady. I said, okay, hearing a bit more. But then I asked for more. And then I saw the word 10. And then I saw the word doctor. This is how I gave the word. There's a lady here today. You've recently, in the last 10 days, been diagnosed from your doctor of having anemia. God wants to heal you. Fadi comes up. Only her and her husband knew about that. God healed her, and she sent me a letter to show the blood test before and the blood test after. That is remarkable. That brings glory to God because it's God taking center stage. I was asked to do a talk in New Zealand about the word of knowledge, and I walked on the beach, and I said to God, I said, oh, I don't have any words of knowledge at the moment, and I'm supposed to be giving this talk about words of knowledge. And I said, you know, God, I don't have any. Please give me one, at least one. And then I felt that God showed me the following. He said that there would be a man there tomorrow, and he would be suffering with an extremely bad back that he's had for years. But and again, similar conversation, yeah, but there's going to be a man there, yeah, and there's probably, yeah, he's going to have a bad back, yeah, there's probably going to be quite a few people. I said, I need a bit more. I need a bit more, God. And so I then felt that God told me that he would be wearing a red top. Okay, now this is a bit more like it. So anyway, I get there, and I share this word of knowledge. And I said, there's a guy here, bad back, and you're wearing a red top. The guy out of the back comes forward, like your red top that you're wearing there, exactly like your red top. And he comes forward, and he's actually one of the leaders in the church, so everyone knows him. And he remarkably gets healed on the spot. But, wait for this, when he went to his front door to come to church, he wasn't wearing a red top. He was wearing a blue top. And he then turned to his wife and said, where's that red top that I haven't worn for a long time? And he found it at the bottom of his drawer. And he shared that. He said, yeah, I wasn't coming to church with that red top originally, but I picked it up at the last moment. You know, it just shows you how knowledgeable, if we need to know, but obviously we do, about how knowledgeable God is. God knows everything. So is it difficult for him to have a conversation with his son or daughter about somebody else that he wants to come and bless? No, it's not. Yes. We need to be those that are full of the Holy Spirit. And, and having that walk with God. But however, if we are feeling that it's only just one thing that God gives us, I encourage you to give that. The Word of God says about the prophetic, prophesy according to your faith. We don't need to make it look good. We need to be faithful in what God gives us. It's not about looking good. It's about being faithful with the gifts that God has given you. And my experience is that as we're faithful, God grants us a bit more. God grants us a bit more. But it's that Jesus takes center stage. It's that Jesus takes center stage the whole time. Don't feel that we need to add anything in to it. Let me share with you a story about Ryan. I love this one. Absolutely love this one. And you'll love this one. You'll love this one. I was recently on a plane coming from Mumbai to Heathrow. And it's an overnight flight. And the lights are dim. We've had dinner. Lights are dim. Most people are asleep. And I get up because I want a cup of tea. And as I get up out of my chair, there's this guy just opposite me. And I just catch his eye for a moment. And then I carry on walking to get my coffee. And I'm thinking, what was that about? So as I'm drinking my coffee, I'm praying. And I said, God, did you put him there for a particular reason? Is there something you want to be sharing with him? And so I'm open now. So I come back and I'm thinking, okay, what's going to be my first chat up line to somebody I've never spoken to before? And so I go up to him and say, so were you in Mumbai for work or was it holiday? He said, oh, no work. And I said, oh, so what sort of work? And he starts to chat. But as he responds, all of a sudden, 36,000 feet up in the air, I'm now feeling the presence of God with me. And I'm thinking, this is weird. This is weird. I'm not expecting this. And he got up for a cup of coffee. And now, as soon as I'm feeling this, guess what happens? He says to me, why don't you come and sit next to me and we can chat further? Thinking, okay, I'm hearing from God here. So anyway, I sit down. He's chatting. And then I feel the Holy Spirit says to me, tell him your testimony. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I think you've got this one slightly wrong now. You know, he's never met me, and now you're prompting me to share my story with him. So anyway, I share my story with him about how I came to Christ. And he, right at the end, he says, Tony, that is absolutely weird. I thought, okay, I knew he was going to say that. And so I said to him, Ryan, I said, why is it weird? He said, because about 6-8 weeks ago, I met a new friend, and he's a Christian. And he's been telling me all about this God thing and about how God loves me and God's got purpose for me. And then you then turn up randomly on a plane and you're talking to me about God. I'm thinking, yeah, that does sound weird, doesn't it? Yeah. And so we carry on the conversation. And then he's sharing some deep stuff with me. And then I really feel that God says, lead him to the Lord. And so I said, you know, is it okay if I pray for you? I think, you know, we've chatted. Would you like to become a Christian? Would you like to give your life to God tonight on this plane? And so I pray for him. He receives Christ. And then I look around and I think, this is just of God, because everyone else around is asleep. It's very private. We can have this lovely conversation and he's open to receive Christ. We've been in lots of conversations since. He's been sending me text messages about the purpose-driven life and, you know, everything that he's on about knowing God. It's been remarkable. And that all started by just that little, just caught somebody's eye. So you can see how one nudge of the Holy Spirit can lead to something else. It's yes. Stepping out. And actually, not trying to fill in the gaps, but just keep listening to God as God continues to prompt you. My goodness, the time is gone. Let me speed up. You've got to listen fast. John Wimber used to say that, and God used him a lot in signs and wonders, he often said that faith is spelt R-I-S-K. We need to be those that risk our gifting. And we also must realize that, as in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, says that actually we prophesy in part. But surely, therefore, our prayer should be that he should increase and we should decrease. Timing is really, really important. Timing is really important because we want to make sure that we give words that are in season. And I've found that this is where the word of wisdom comes in. Just because you've got something from the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that it's for now. It might be for later. So this is where I think wisdom certainly comes in. And let me give you an example of this again. You might begin to feel and sense a word of God coming to you, a word of knowledge coming to you. Okay, I encourage you, write it down, because I often write things down. Maybe it's because of my age and I'll forget it by the morning. But it's helpful to write things down because you might go back and add something else to it. And so that is often how I work. But there was this word that started to come to me. And it was about a woman that would be visiting our church. And this came to me over about a six-week period. And so what I did one night, let me tell you the word and then I'll tell you how it came. I got up at a baptismal service and I said, let's call her Nikki. Nikki, okay. And I said that there's a woman here tonight and I think God wants to bless you. I said, you've come here for the first time tonight and you've come to watch your friend be baptized. I said, you've got a pain down your shoulder and just to show that God knows you, your name is Jane. I get that. At the end of the meeting, the friend who was being baptized, who invited her, brought Jane up, said, hey, I want to introduce you to Jane. Jane gets healed immediately. She gets saved. And after a while, her husband then comes on an alpha course and he gets saved. And then she's also leading our worship team for time. But that word came to me over a period of time. In the prayer meeting before that service, I had most of that apart from her name and when it would be. But as I was praying, I felt the Holy Spirit said, tonight is the night. And her name is Jane. So that end part came right at the end, as it were. So I really felt in faith to give it at that time. We need to have words of knowledge, but also we need to speak words in season. We need to know God's timing. The Bible talks about actually keeping in step, doesn't it? Keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. It says you walk with the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Sometimes just because you've got something doesn't mean it's for now. It might be for later. The word of knowledge, when it's operating, will bring much glory to Jesus. It's all about him. It's about nobody else. It's about honoring Jesus. It's about making him center stage. Words of knowledge might come to you during the week. Again, write them down. Ask God for more and more. Now, I'm going to move really quickly now. Sometimes you might give a word and nothing happens. I've given loads of words and nothing's happened. How do you feel? You know, you want a trap door to open up and you quickly go away and you've got that embarrassment. And, you know, what did you do? I'd say keep humble. Keep humble. But the person you're praying for, they may have responded to something. They may say, you know, maybe Pete's responded to something, but Pete tells me that on Thursday of this coming week, he's going into hospital. Make a note of that. Pray for Pete on Thursday. Follow him up on maybe Friday and see how it's gone. Because we need to make sure that words of knowledge, like any gifts of the Spirit, are used with compassion. They're used with the love of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit to be building up the church of God. So we need to make sure that we're honoring God, but also we honor people as well We honor their dignity very, very much. And, you know, this is the most profound teaching you'll hear from me now of all morning. 1 Corinthians 13 comes after 1 Corinthians 12. All about love. All about love, yeah? All about love. We need to make sure we move in that. Now, sometimes God might share with you something that is very dramatic, and you say, oh my goodness, how do I respond to this one? Let me tell you about John. John at our Alpha course that I was part of quite a while ago. And I think this was the first night we got together. So different tables out. I'm hosting a table with somebody else. We're having our meal. This is the first time we've all gathered together. We're having a nice conversation, everyone. Everything's going quite well. Nothing too deep. And all of a sudden, I look at John and I see the word suicide. Sorry, the word suicidal over his head. I thought, oh my goodness. What do I do? I know I've heard from God. It wouldn't be right to ignore it. It wouldn't be right to expose him in that sense. So how do I deal with it? Do I say, can you pass the water? And are you thinking about taking your life? That probably wouldn't go down too well. So this is exactly what I did. I said, hey guys, it's really great to be here. Can I just share with you something about my testimony about how I came to the Lord? I said, before I came to the Lord, about 2-3 weeks before, I tried to take my life and just shared about that. After the Alpha dinner had finished, John came up to me and said, you know what? Your story really spoke to me because I feel like that person. I said, yeah. You see, you don't have to say it's a word of knowledge. You just bring a conversation. They don't need to know that. You know, if you have to say it's a word of knowledge, it might be more about you than actually the work of the Holy Spirit. So you just bring it into a conversation. Maybe you've been on the receiving edge of a word of knowledge. You think, okay, it's me. I need to respond. I encourage you, if you receive a word of knowledge in a meeting like this, yeah, definitely respond, because the Holy Spirit is here to do us good. The Holy Spirit is here to build up the church. And so be on the front foot to respond. Very quickly, I'm going to finish with this one. Let me tell you about Peter, not this Pete, but another Peter. I was asked to teach on the word of knowledge in a church, and they had a few people coming. And so this person responds because I said, there's a man here with a stomach complaint. Now, that's quite simple. I didn't get any more than that. Person comes out, says, I've got a stomach condition. Okay. So I start praying. But as I start praying, I see this dartboard. And I think, this is weird. But I see this dartboard, but I see this guy right on the edge of the dartboard. He's not in the center. And I feel that the following, I said, do you know what? I'm getting this picture that of this dartboard, that you're on the edge of where you should be, and God wants to bring you to the center of where he wants you to be for the future. And you need to make a move from there to here. It was very detailed. It was very direct. Now, the church leader was standing next to me. And after we finished, he turned to me and he said, you don't know what you just said. I'm in trouble again. And he said, you know what? The reason why I couldn't meet you last night to welcome you was because I was with this guy. And this guy leads a church. And he's been thinking about joining our family of churches. And he turned to me and he said, tell me what I should do. And I said to him, I won't tell you what you should do. You need to hear from God and you need to obey from God. On that weekend, he told the church, we're moving to be part of New Frontiers. Wow. It just started by a stomach. And then God shows you something a bit more. That touched the church. The Holy Spirit is here to glorify Christ. Therefore, as he works through us, we must make sure that it is he and he alone who is exalted and nobody else. That we should be those that decrease and he increases in us. as I bring this into land, let me just remind us all. God wants a powerful church. He wants us to know the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be those that will fight for the spiritual gifts today. They're not, as it were, historic and just in a history book. No, they are for today. They are for today. Stir up the gifts within you. If you feel as though there's a gift within you and it's gone dormant, today's the day to ask God to stir that pot again, to stir your faith again. Don't just look back on history, but talk about what will God do in me and through me today? How can I cultivate this hunger and this relationship with the work and the person of the Holy Spirit? Be you young, be you old, whatever, it doesn't matter. But let's make sure that we're those that are filled with the Holy Spirit. I said to you earlier today, maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Today can be a day where you know the filling of the Holy Spirit. Today could be a day where God gives you that unction to function in a new level, where he comes to you, where you receive the gift of faith to step out more and more. God is good. When the gifts of the Holy Spirit are working well, I tell you, they're all centralized in Jesus and glorifying his name. I encourage you, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God.